Isaiah 28. We want to read verses 23 through 29. We want to look at the subject this morning of the Lord, the fact that the Lord prepares people for spiritual growth, and use this text out of the book of Isaiah to demonstrate that as God lays this down in His holy word. Isaiah 28, verses 23 through 29. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned upon, about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. You know, farming has been and always will be an essential part of human life. And it's interesting, as you read your Bibles, how often the Lord uses some aspect or other about farming to teach a spiritual lesson. Jesus did it a lot. God does it in the Old Testament in the teaching through the life and behavior and experiences of the children of Israel. And I think God uses farming so much to bring a spiritual lesson because of its perpetual association to the business and the survival of mankind. I mean, if there's anything that human beings ought to have some knowledge about or some feel some kinship with, it's farming. Now, today, we live in a much urbanized society, and so we've drifted away from the rural days of living on the farm and helping Dad hold the corn, so to speak. And so I believe that the further we move away from the rural setting of farming and getting our hands on farming things, the further we drift from being able to understand the spiritual lessons that God teaches us in His Word when He uses farming to bring the message. Now, for that reason, if there were no other, I think we ought to look frequently at farming lessons out of the Word of God. It'll keep us familiar with how God has used something that's a basic human element to teach us things that we might not otherwise be able to learn. And I'm almost inclined to think that that Christian parents ought to spend some time and take their kids out on a farm and let them walk in the corn rows, let them feel of the corn on the cob, let them pick up a handful of plowed and disked dirt, let them watch some chickens run around in the yard and maybe some goats bleat and butt against something and cows moo and eat their hay and that kind of thing. I almost think it's important for God's people to get lessons out of the Bible to have some knowledge of farming. And so, if you've got kids coming up, it might be important, if you've never set foot on a farm, to find somebody that's got one where a little farming goes on, take your kids out there and let them get some experience about growing crops and about plowing and disking ground and that kind of thing, because it'll help them to relate that kind of life to the lessons that God gives. And it'll help them to relate the farming setting and what God is telling us in farming illustrations, it'll help them to relate that to the spiritual message. Now, our text has a message in it that has eluded me for years. I'll be honest with you. I've thought about this portion of the Word of God and read it many times over a long period of time, but I was never able to understand what spiritual lesson it contained for Christians. And I've had the subject from this text in my unfinished sermon folder for a long, long time. And God began to deal with me about this message a few weeks ago and very heavily this past week. So I got it back out and began to pray and study, and God gave me some understanding about the spiritual lesson that it contains for Christians. In times past, I could see how it was a kind of parable message from God to Israel about how He dealt with them, but I couldn't even then actually clearly see what He was saying even to Israel in a full sense. But now, I've come to realize that this text teaches us a very, very deep spiritual lesson about how the Lord deals with His elect as they go through life and as they go through various experiences. And so, for that reason, I just hope this morning that the Lord will help me to share with you what He's given me about these verses. And I hope that God will enable me to get out vocally and verbally what He's given me in the way of understanding about what Isaiah has written here. So beginning in verse 24, let's look at the first phrase of this verse and think about something that it must tell us and does tell us about God's dealing with us. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Now, because that's couched in Hebrew language and translated out in the English, we tend to miss the largeness of the message in that first question. But if I were to say to you as an old country boy living in Tennessee that God is saying here, that the verse is saying, does the person who plows ground just plow on and on and on and on and on in order to sow, or is there more? That's almost what I can say that God's saying there. Does He plow just continually, indefinitely, as though that was all there was to sowing a crop? And of course, those of you who grew up on a farm, you say no. He plows because He's going to go on to something else in a minute. Tomorrow or the next day, He's going to go on to another phase of that planting process. So that's what God's showing us here. But in asking the question, I think that He teaches us here that, first of all, that God plows the hearts and lives of His people as a starting place in preparing their spiritual growth. Some of us, immediately when we think about the plow digging into the ground out there on the old farm, and the analogy that it must draw between that ground being torn up with a plow and God dealing with our hearts, some of us automatically can go back to a time in our life, maybe more than one time in our lives, where we know that God broke some plowed ground in our lives, that He did some stuff that did what a plow does to the earth in a spiritual sense. Now, ground is plowed by farmers because it is hard and in a condition in that hardness that it is unreceptive for seed. That's why farmers plow. It's unreceptive to seed, that ground that they're planting a plant, and so they've got to break up the soil as a starter in order for some other process to be able to take place so that they can plant and end up with a crop. Now, there's a lesson there. And you might say, well, Brother Myers, I'm sorry to tell you, but we're in the modern age today, and a lot of farmers don't plow anymore. They do no-till farming. Well, for any of you that's done no-till farming, I believe Brother Ed has, and all of you that's watched no-till farming, you know that even in no-till farming, the ground is not left undisturbed. There are some cutters on most of the no-till equipment that cuts the ground, and there's some what I call injectors that may put fertilizer in the ground, and they will tear up the soil. It isn't torn up like plowing, but nevertheless, it is still disturbed soil as a result of no-till farming. So the metaphor here still applies even in the modern age of no-till farming. But farmers tear up that ground in that first event in order to make it ready to receive a crop. Now, as we think about that as a metaphor of God's spiritual work upon us, realize as God's people, and we ought all to realize this, that more often than not, our own human tendency in relation to spiritual things is to present hard ground to God in regard to Him coming to us with spiritual lessons. We more or less are in a state all the time of having some hard ground in our heart. All of us can testify that getting a spiritual lesson from God is hard, but it's only hard because we're hard. It's hard for us to understand it. It's hard for us to receive it. It's hard sometimes for us to even be in a spiritual condition to be able to open our hearts to God. Well, that's what God's plowing is all about. God's great about this. You know, when He expects, when He's going to give great things to His people, He'll break out the plow and get started in that plowing event. Now, just like the farmer knows his ground and knows the disturbance that's needed in order to start the planting process, God knows our hearts. And He does a great job of examining and evaluating the level and the intensity of spiritual plowing that our hearts need. In John chapter 2 and verse 25, there was a wonderful statement made about the Lord Jesus Christ by John. And you know, John made this statement because he'd been able to observe Jesus as he served with Him as an apostle. And in that verse in John 2:25, speaking about Jesus, he said that Jesus Christ did not need that anybody should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. So Jesus Christ, God our Father, they know what is in us, and they know exactly how to prepare the soil of our heart. Now, plowing of ground, as this question implies in our text, this plowing of ground has an end. And the smart farmer who's plowing ground is going to spend only as much time tearing up the ground as is necessary to get the ground to the phase and the state that he wants it in order to complete what he's going to do in the planting process. That's exactly the way God acts in spiritual things. So God knows how much tearing up is needed, and He will plow, spiritually speaking, only as much as is needed to get the job done and move on to the next thing. He knows how much to plow. Now, I want you to take this lesson home about God plowing spiritually in our lives. That is that God plowing in the spiritual sense in our hearts and in our lives is for the express purpose of sowing some seed, as we're going to see as we move on down in the verses. So that's God's purpose. He's plowing because He's preparing to sow. And so when you find yourself in a turbulent situation in your life, when you are down in the valley, when there are real problems and real distresses and real things that are tearing you up, you remember that God knows exactly how much to plow, and He's plowing for a purpose, and the purpose is He's going to do something good for you by sowing some seed from the hand of God that will do your life some good. That's God's purpose in plowing. Now, let's look at the second phrase in this verse, and notice this. We're going to read the second phrase in verse 24, and we're going to read the first phrase in verse 25. They're important to this process. Doth He open and break the clods of His ground? When He hath made plain the face thereof, doth He not cast abroad and so on? Pay attention to those two phrases, because there's a secret from God there. Doth He open and break the clods of His ground? When He hath made plain the face thereof, doth He not cast abroad the fitches and scatter and cast in and so on? Focus on those two phrases Now, lest you miss the point again because of translating out of the Hebrew into the English language, let me just say to you that here God is teaching us that following, by the way, this phrase of opening and breaking the clods of the ground, if you were to put that in West Tennessee terms, you would say, doesn't God then after plowing harrow and disc in order to make the clods finer? That's what it's saying. Now with that in mind, see how the metaphor fits? God plows. Things get ripped up. And your life may be in a shambles as far as you can tell. But the next thing God does is He smooths the ground. God has a way, after He plows a while in our lives, of smoothing the ground. It's a kind of refining process. It goes through our lives, or it happens in our lives by the work of the Spirit of God. And what God does is He discs and harrows our heart, our lives, to get ready for the next phase of planting. God smooths His people's spiritual identity and being through this disking, harrowing process. Now, I know that every one of you that have paid any attention at all to your life experiences as God dealt with you about things are familiar with this disking, harrowing process. You may not have recognized it for what it was when it was happening, but you'll notice that when God tears up your life in order to bring you to a better spiritual place, then He comes in with the power of the Spirit and calms you and comforts you and gives you what you need to bear up under what's occurring to you. You're still getting dissed. You're still getting harrowed. But God is smoothing things for you. Now, the ultimate end of disking will be that the ground that was a big bunch of lumps and humps that weren't fit for planting at all those big bumps and lumps and humps and great big clods get chopped up in a little bitty fine soil. And a seed bed is born from that disking process. I want you to notice and think about the disked ground out there now. There's the ground. It was plowed. Really looked rough. Was rough. Ground got tore up wide and deep. But now it's been disked and it's smooth. And the biggest clod out there, may all being bigger than, say, your thumb or your end of your little finger. It's what you call fine dirt, isn't it? And that ground is now in a state to receive seed. Now, what's so important about this ground when it comes to receiving seed? Well, you know what happens with seed when they get dropped into plowed ground? They fall willy-nilly here and there and holes everywhere, and the growing area is irregular, and they're down in holes, and they get swamped with water, and they don't have a good place to grow at all. But in this ground, each one of those seeds can come in contact with a whole bunch of grains of soil. And our agronomists tell us that this contact of the seed with all these little pieces of soil rejuvenate the growing process in the seed. It's this contact by many parts of the soil that is one of the things that helps that seed to germinate and begin to grow, because it can get access to every bit of stuff that's in the soil that it needs to grow. This is exactly what the Lord teaches us here about the disking process upon our lives. When He smooths us, when He smooths our spiritual selves, when He gives us comfort after a plowing, when He begins to stabilize and we begin to settle down and say, well, it wasn't so bad after all. And hey, Lord's still on His throne and He's blessing me today and sun's shining. I feel good even though this pressure is still upon me. Even this life experience is still there and I still I feel a little bit uneasy about it, I'm calm before God. I feel good about it. And I feel better about myself. I'm doing okay. When you get there, you become the death soil for the seed of God to get some benefit from. This is what happens to God's people. Now, did you ever notice that people in your life who had the least receptiveness toward the Lord or the least sensitivity about spiritual things were the very ones who grew the least in the things of God? I think you've noticed that. Did you ever notice that your own self, in times when you were the coldest and furthest away from the Lord, the most cluttered with clods, brothers and sisters, was the time when you were the least able to learn anything from the Lord, to get any blessing from the Lord? You just drifted on day to day, half plowed ground or half disc ground. That's the condition that a lot of people are in. They're not yet smoothed by the Lord, and they are not receptive to God's mercies, to God's loving kindnesses. And because of that, we know, both in ourselves and them, that they are not growing in the Lord, and we're not growing in the Lord. Jesus made an accusation to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 13 and 15. And he was talking about the Jewish people there. And I want you to notice what his accusation was. It was about this very thing. And what he said about those Jews that rejected him and wouldn't listen to him and rejected the message of God, he said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." Now, in case you're wondering about that, that would be the equivalent of ground that was plowed but wasn't disced well. Ground that was still unreceptive to the seed to be planted in it. That's the way we are sometimes. That's the way lost men and women and boys and girls are, and they will not and cannot receive the things of God. But in a finely disced field, seeds can come in close contact with many particles of the soil, and as a result of that, it is that thing, one of those things, that helps those seeds germinate and grow. The plowing, brothers and sisters, and the disking work of God prepares our hearts to be receptive to His plantings. And so, a kind of a afterthought about this is that if you feel really burdened down because you have lately been plowed and maybe dissed, or you are now being plowed or maybe dissed, and you're feeling downtrodden, depressed, and down altogether about it, let me suggest to you that you just wait on the Lord and look to the Lord, because He's getting ready to do something great for you. He's going to make your field fit for the seed before He drops them in. Be a pretty silly farmer that'd go out and look out across his field where the weeds are just starting to come up, ground's hard from all winter, the rain beating it down and so forth, and he says, "Well, it's ready to plant." And he runs out there and starts broadcasting seed. Be kind of silly, wouldn't it? A good farmer, a smart farmer, makes the ground ready, and God is the smartest farmer. Totally smart. He knows how to do it. Now, we find that verse 25 teaches us something else. And as we look at it, as we read a minute ago, it says, "When He hath made plain the face thereof," that is, when He's made the ground smooth, that's what that's saying, "doth He not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place?" I want you to notice in this verse the diversity of seed types that God speaks of here to get His message across. He's talking about fitches and cumin. He's talking about wheat, barley, and rye. At least five kinds right there. This is a diversity of seeds, and I want us to let it stand this morning for many different kinds of spiritual potential that the Lord plants in us. Because that's literally the message to God, from God to God's people today. These seeds can stand as a representative type of the many different kinds of spiritual potential that God plants in us after He's plowed and dissed us. I mean, God doesn't just go one route only in regard to spiritual things in our lives. He doesn't just give us one single kind of seed. I understand that the seed sown in the parable of the sower that Jesus taught, the seed was the Word of God. But if we let every one of these seed types here be some aspect of the Word of God, that parable would fit well with this one. And rightly so, because it's the Word of God that does so much to us in relation to the Spirit working on our soul. We learn what God is saying to us many times by comparing or by remembering something from the Word of God that the Lord has said about His people and about His doing. So at any rate, here's a diversity of seeds type. Let it stand for the many, many different types of spiritual potential that the Lord plants in us. Now, just a brief, these fitches that are mentioned here are probably fennel or anise. And I want to make that point simply because those are two seeds that are common and were common from way back in history past in the Middle East, and they're widely used, were widely used by the Jews. Now, so let these seeds, brothers and sisters, represent spiritual endowment to us. And you could take the fitches or the fennel or anise, whichever it is, because both of them are much the same in their uses. You could take the cumin, the wheat, the barley, and the rye, and you could see or type out a spiritual type of endowment from God on each one of those. Now, I'm not going to spend much time with that, but if you begin to study the use of anise or fennel, you realize that it was popular as a medicinal seed. I mean, when you think about God's lessons here, you could go really expand it here and say, okay, let's look at that, because fennel and anise, whichever one it was, doesn't matter. It's about spiritual medicine from God. And then when you look at the use of cumin, it was used widely, and still is, for flavor or savor of dishes. And so you can say, this is representative of the spiritual endowments that cause us to be a sweet savor to God and a savor of life and death to the lost world. I mean, you could say that. Of course, the wheat and the barley and the rye is representative in the real world of where men get their strength and endurance from, because they're basic staples of life. And so you could say those could represent in this message from God a strength, spiritual strength. You see what God's teaching us here, and I don't have time for that, but you can see what an enormous message God may be preaching us in these words of Isaiah. So let's let these represent spiritual endowments to us from God. Now, notice the diversity also of how He distributes the seed that He's talking about here. And when we think about how He distributes the seed, I believe that God teaches us in this the many ways that the Lord uses to plant spiritual potential in us. Because if you look at that, there's heavy broadcasting. I mean, you'd set your spinner broadcaster as heavy to go. Drop as much seed as you could. That's the first one that he's talking about the fitches. And the second one is real light and careful sprinkling when he's talking about the cumin. That's the Hebrew word used there. And so there's the heavy broadcasting, really laying the seed in a broadcast pattern. Then there's really lightly sprinkling it, not making a heavy broadcast at all. And then there's the directed laying in rows of the wheat and the barley and the rye, like almost pinpointing where you want it to go. So there's, you notice that? Three different kinds of ways of broadcasting. Cast abroad the fishes, scatter the coming, and again, cast abroad the fishes. That's Hebrew terminology that points you to heavy broadcasting. And scattering the coming, real light distribution of it across the soil where you're planting it. And cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place means directed or targeted casting in a row. These things from God, I believe, teach us that there are many ways that the Lord uses to plant spiritual potential in us. Looking at the first one, this thing of casting abroad the fishes. Listen, brothers and sisters, I think he's speaking to us here about how we gain spiritual endowments from his general mercies and blessings to this old wicked world. I really believe that. And if you study out this casting abroad the fishes, I believe you can come to the same conclusion. So when we see this coming from God, what is he teaching us? Well, let me show you an example. Here in the United States, we're one of the most blessed nations on the earth as far as having drinkable water. Everywhere you go, you can get a drink of good water. I mean, you almost can't go anywhere. You might say, well, get up in the mountains in these wilderness areas. What about it? You got a brook running clean and clear that you can drink out of. But you say, down in the desert, what? You don't have anything to drink down in the desert. Yeah, you do. You probably carried four or five bottled water with you when you went. Where'd you get that? About water available in America. Everywhere you go, plenty of water, a good drinkable water to drink everywhere. Now, this is available for everybody. The wickedest hater of God that is in America today can get all the water he needs just by going to the nearest convenience store. Or the most faithful child of God can get all the water that he needs out of the well, out of the drinking, out of the faucet, out of a drinking fountain, out of the bottled water at the store. Everybody receives a blessing from God. Brothers and sisters, may I just suggest that God has cast abroad the fishes concerning his blessings related to water for Americans. That's what it means. That's what we see in that. And we benefit as God's people by virtue of this general blessing from God. Now you could name dozens more instances where this is true. I mean, what about the grocery store? What about the rows and rows of food that are available in the supermarket there? Do you realize that there are literally hundreds of nations on this planet that can't go to a major supermarket and get a bunch of food? General blessings to America in the way of well-stocked food gondolas in a supermarket. We receive the blessing from that. God blesses us because he has generally scattered abroad the fishes of this prosperity in America. That's, I believe, what God's talking about when he's talking about how he distributes the seed of fishes, casting them abroad in a spiritual sense. We see here that God blesses his people with spiritual things because after we think about those things, those physical things that I've just mentioned, don't we, as God's people, say, praise God for good food and good water and having it available for me and my children? Don't we say that? That's spiritual fruit that I'm going to talk about tonight, Lord willing. That's spiritual fruit born of God distributing to us a spiritual endowment of reminding us by the Spirit of how we get blessed, because generally speaking, our nation is blessed with water and good groceries. What about this scatter of the coming? This is a very light sowing, as I said. And I believe it teaches us that we receive spiritual guidance and lessons from the Lord when we observe those rare instances. Just a little bit of coming, brothers and sisters. Not a heavy broadcast, just real lightly planted there. When we get a blessing from God, when we observe the rare instances of God working among mankind, that is the coming being scattered upon our lives. In 2008, down here just a little bit east of Gallatin, Tennessee, there's a place called Castalian Springs, Tennessee. Some of you may have heard of it. But in 2008, there was a huge tornado went through there and just tore up a bunch of houses, tore up an entire trailer park, from what I understand. And the rescuers were searching through the debris of that wreckage, and one of them saw a doll move out there in a yard in a bunch of debris. And one of the other rescuers said, "That's not a doll, that's a baby." And they picked this baby up, and he was alive. He was an 11-month-old boy named Kyson Stoll, and he'd survived a 300-foot journey through the air being carried by that tornado when it ripped his house trailer to shreds and sucked him out of his crib and killed his mother. Flew 300 feet in a tornado, survived, got well. Small things, rare instances of God interceding because He is a merciful God. God interceding. And I believe, brethren, that He intercedes in cases like that and lets us know about it, that we can know from His own hand that He has scattered the coming. We praise God. Babies mean so much to us. We praise God to learn about something like this. We rejoice to know that those parents, or that dad that's left alive, was not bereft of his child. We praise God for God's mercy in that. That is spiritual fruit born of God's scattering of the cumin. Just a little bit. Rare instances in the lives of human beings. Rare instances of God doing some great act that shows us that He is, in some instances, simply scattering the cumin. We're going to have to stop there. We're out of time. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to look at the third method of God, casting in the principal wheat and the rye and the barley, and look at that from the viewpoint of what it must mean that God is telling us about how blessings or how spiritual endowments come to us as a result of this third way of distributing them. And then we'll try to finish up with looking at God planting spiritual seeds and then reaping the crop from those spiritual seeds.